In the 2012 film Wreck-It Ralph, the title character sets off on a journey through a variety of arcade video games.
I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. Ralph abandoned his game.
Where's the wrecking guy?
Welcome to Game Central Station. Trains for all game destinations now boarding.
That's pretty much what the third annual Arts Tech Film Fest aims to do this week at the Normal Theater. The Film Fest, running Wednesday through Sunday, features movies inspired by video games. Organizer Rick Valentin is an associate professor of arts technology at Illinois State University, and he says he chose this theme because increasingly, more than films, video games are a key cultural touchstone for young people.
Right, so even if they're making film references, I think they're making film references in context of video games, right? So someone won't say, oh, that reminds me of Scarface. You know, it reminds me of
Grand Theft Auto,
right? And you start realizing, oh, even though they're film references in all these video games, they don't necessarily see the films. It's that the people who have been influenced by the films make the games, and then the video games become the reference. And so I think it was just that idea that, wow, let's try to connect something so that this younger audience who loves video games, they actually get a little bit of the film context too, and maybe some of the references that they see in their media now.
I'm surprised that they don't want to see the film that's connected to the video game. Aren't they kind of missing out?
Well, that's the thing. I think they do, but that was part of the problem when we were putting together the festival, is that there are not a lot of good video game movies, right? So there are plenty of video game movies, right? There's a Mortal Kombat movie, which is
not good.
Laughingly terrible, yeah. And you can name almost every movie that's been made. Yeah. All those movies, yeah, and there's a new Tomb Raider coming out. There are a huge number of movies made from video games, and I think a lot of people who love video games, maybe when they're younger, right, they get excited, oh, there's a Warcraft movie, and then they'll go see it, and then they'll realize pretty quickly after they've seen a couple movies made out of their favorite video games that, wow, it's not usually very good. A movie's not that great.
Why is that? Why is it hard to translate across these two different platforms?
I think it's because, obviously, I think the obvious thing is video games are interactive, and it's a different type of engagement, right? So films are somewhat passive. I know you can make the argument that you're participating, right? But radio is more interactive, right, for instance, than film is. Film gives you the visual and the audio. Video games, they give you the visual and the audio, but they give you some more choice in narrative and everything like that. And somebody can spend 80 hours playing a video game, whereas an 80-hour film is very, very difficult to capture someone unless it's interactive in some way. So I think the problem is that you're trying to take something that's interactive and convert it into this more passive form. And then all of a sudden narrative becomes much more important, because in video games, it can be the environment, the characters, right? Those can drive you, and there's some narrative that drives you, but there's the game element, achievement, right? It's more like real life, right? And in a way, whereas, so trying to translate something to film, a lot of times it's just, oh, it's the name, a couple of characters, and an environment, but a truly great film requires narrative, I think. And that's not true either. I mean, from an avant-garde perspective, right, a film doesn't have to have narrative, but I think for mainstream appeal, right, or even medium stream appeal, right, there has to be a narrative.
We just saw the release of Spielberg's latest film, Ready Player One. Do you think this film, which incorporates video games and virtual reality into its narrative, do you think this might be a film that actually sort of breaks through and actually is successful?
I think it is successful, right? People went to see it, but I think in a way it is still one of those video game movies, kind of trying to translate that game environment into a film itself. I think in some ways, narratively speaking, Ready Player One's basically a game, like looking for three keys, and then at the end you win, right? And then there's a lot of interesting stuff around it, but it doesn't necessarily engage on a narrative level, right? And so I'm more interested in filmmakers who are trying to bridge that gap, right? So I think Scott Pilgrim versus the World is one of the films we're showing. And so that film, even though it's not necessarily a game movie, it uses some game narrative. Scott has to go through all the exes of his potential new girlfriend. And so that's game-like. And then their visuals and kind of the narrative itself has game-like elements, but there's still a story, characters, relationships. There's depth there. That's more about getting a hybrid of video games and film, whereas I think Ready Player One is great, but it's very superficial. It's not a great Steven Spielberg movie, and it's not a great video game movie. It's kind of this very flashy thing, but as you dig deeper, I don't feel like it's the Citizen Kane of video game movies, right? And so somebody else is going to make that, or the Citizen Kane of video games film hybrid, right, where you have a narrative and but people play it interactive. That's interactive film is always the future. I've been hearing about interactive film for 20 or 30 years, but no one's made that yet. And so I think what's interesting about Ready Player One is that it's obvious we need to have this fusion, and everyone's experimenting now. At some point, we're going to get a really interesting hybrid. We're just not there yet, but we're getting closer, I think.
Rick, how has video game culture actually changed over the years? I mean, some of our first films that you have in this film fest, like The Last Starfighter, that came out in 1984. Now we also have Wreck-It Ralph is part of this lineup, which came out in 2012. A lot of changes happened over those years. How has that culture changed?
Well, I think the big change is it started out in an odd way as being a communal culture because you had to go to an arcade. And so that's my earliest memory of video games, is that you had to go somewhere and you saw other people your age there. And it was a place that wasn't, it was kind of like a precursor to a bar or something. When you were underage, there were very few places to go to in the 80s. And late 70s. And so the arcade was a communal experience. And then all of a sudden the home systems made it somewhat more isolated. I think now we're moving in, now that people have massive multiplayer online games, that communal thing is happening again, but it's very different, right? Everyone's in their houses.
And in their different countries.
yeah, all across the world, right? But they're getting together in this community. And so it's this interesting cycle, this kind of change from communal experience to isolation and then back to communal.
The first film that you're going to be showing, as I mentioned, The Last Starfighter from 1984. I remember this film. I actually saw it in a drive-in movie theater. It goes back to 1984. Why did you choose this one?
It was a big question about Tron. So people always ask, why aren't you showing Tron? And it's like, well, I feel like everyone's seen Tron now. Tron has been...
It had a sequel and everything.
It had a sequel. My kids know Tron. People play this Tron video game from a few years ago still. And so Tron has moved from being this cult overlooked classic to being mainstream.
More mainstream,
And so Last Starfighter feels the same way that Tron did, in that it a lot of people missed out on it the first time around. I didn't see it the first time around in the theaters, and I was the audience for this movie. And so The Last Starfighter is from the very beginning of CGI, computer graphics. So Tron has those computer graphics, but you're within a game. And The Last Starfighter has a huge number of spaceships, boulders, asteroids built, the whole environment's built in a computer using computer graphics. And that it's one of the first films to do that.
On the night of the 26th, you're going to be showing a film from 1999 called Existence. And this is interesting. Did I say that right?
It's actually in the film, they pronounce it Existence. And so it's something about video game culture. It's that idea that like the capitalization is weird. And
yes.
They pronounce things weird. The company that makes the game Existence is called Pilgrimage, even though it looks like pilgrimage, right? So it's all about this kind of clicky, kind of underground pronunciation thing in the film.
Well, it's interesting because you have one of my favorite actresses of all time, Jennifer Jason Leigh, is in this film, and she's a woman game designer. And so we're getting the female perspective of basically a world that was really, particularly in 99, heavily male dominated.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the great thing about it is the lead character is a game designer, but it's a woman. And so often games and gaming culture associated with men, and that's not the reality of it. Again, I have lots of students, and I'd say it's 50-50, the ones that identify as just like hardcore gamers, right? It's male and female, and so that's not the actual world. And so having a character that is the designer, that's great. And then what's interesting about it is, not to get too deep into the psychology of David Cronenberg, but it's also the controllers.
Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, the controllers and the devices are more feminine in a way, right? So that's one of the complaints about, you know, like joysticks and everything like that. The controllers are very masculine, you know, in video game culture. And David Cronenberg goes, so you plug in with the the game pods with something that's very much like an umbilical cord and everything like that. And so there's not just a female lead, but it's kind of this female perspective of what would the game world look like if it had, if it wasn't just male dominated. So that's an interesting part of the film.
On the 28th, you have a film from 2012, Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
And that's animation.
Yeah.
Why did you choose Wreck-It Ralph to be part of the Artstech Film Fest?
Well, what's great about Wreck-It Ralph is it in a way, is a history of arcade games and video games, because Wreck-It Ralph, the character, is from a 1980s, early 80s arcade game, and then he travels through these other games, and they're all arcade games, but how I always remember when the big kind of alien attack games and started showing up in the arcade, and it was like, wow, this is really weird with the big guns and everything like that. So he travels through games like that, and then travels through a game that's candy oriented and everything like that. And so in a way, it gives you an idea of the history of arcade games, especially because he kind of travels through that history along with the narrative itself.
You also have all through the film festival multimedia installations going on at the theater and virtual reality demos. You know, in just the 3 years that you've had this film festival going on, I'll bet virtual reality has just leapfrogged in its technology.
It has. And again, that's another area that we're thinking about having a fest based around virtual reality. So Existenz already is very much a film about virtual reality. We're going to have a Vive setup, which is...
I'm sorry, a what?
A Vive, V-I-V-E. It's a helmet, a visor, and headphones, and two controllers you hold in your hand. You can move around in a virtual reality environment. And so, yeah, the technology is moving quickly. The thing about this is it's kind of the same thing. As long as we've had these video game movies, we've had these stories about how virtual reality is going to take over. And it hasn't happened yet. And it always feels like we're on the edge of it. It's getting very close now where the technology is cheaper. It's more portable. It's, again, just a matter of when somebody makes content that is engaging, I think. So if you wanted to expand it, there had to be some kind of narrative. Once the novelty ran off of having two little squares knocking another square back and forth across the screen.
I love Pong.
Yeah, Pong was great. But then at some point, you couldn't play Pong forever, right? You could, actually. What was odd about it is you could play Pong forever, but then something more detailed came in and something more detailed, and it got more rich. And then you have these complex video games with these long stories that people play for years on end, right? And I think that's the same place we're with virtual reality, is we've got a lot of Pong things that people look at. The graphics are really engaging, but they don't necessarily have stories that engage people beyond that. And so that's where we're at right now. That's what we're trying to teach our students in Arts Technology, is not only that the technology is what gets people engaged. It's the art side of it, the narrative, the concepts behind it. And so that's what I'm waiting for, is when we'll have a virtual reality festival, maybe in 20 years, where we show, oh, this is the way virtual reality looked and what people found interesting 20 years ago. It'll be those Pong-like experiences, but then we'll have this huge, fully fleshed art form in virtual reality. And so I'm looking forward to that.
That's Rick Valentin, organizer of the Artstech Film Festival, running Wednesday through Sunday at the Normal Theater in Uptown Normal. I'm Laura Kennedy.